So the season is over. There's nothing left to talk about. And I'm not going to be making any more podcasts, right? Wrong. So today I'm going to be talking about my thoughts on the overall season for the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm also going to be talking about the AAF. Now, you may be asking yourself, what is the AAF? Well, the AAF is the American Alliance for Football. And I'm going to talk about exactly what that is and what you can expect. Okay, so because I started this podcast later in the season, I wasn't able to give my thoughts about what I thought was going to happen in the beginning of the season. I didn't get to talk about the preseason games. I didn't get to talk about, you know, what was going on in the Cowboys organization at that time. Unfortunately, I didn't have the idea to start the podcast until later in the year. I think it was around week 15 when I started to think about that. So let's cover that a little bit. So going into the season, I gotta be honest. I wasn't all too optimistic about the season. In fact, I was thinking the Cowboys were gonna go 7-9. There was a lot of things that were making me lean towards that direction, towards that type of record. One of them was I wasn't very confident in what that Dak Prescott could do as a quarterback. You know, he had that really good rookie season, but then his second season he had that regression, and I wasn't optimistic at all. Des was gone. Witten was gone. Frederick was ruled out since the very beginning. And Lee had been going through injuries again and was looking like he was going to be missing some games. Eventually ended up missing quite a few games. But I was not very optimistic at all. I was hoping that, I was thinking that at the best they were going to go 7-9. Our number one receiver at that point, everybody was thinking that it was going to be Allen Hurns. I mean, that should tell you something right there. And then our two tight ends were, so the person who was supposed to be coming into the season to be our next tight end up was supposed to be Rico Gathers. Whatever happened to that guy? That guy did absolutely nothing. Good thing that the front office drafted Dalton Schultz and Blake Jarwin, because they came along really good towards the end of the season. But Rico Gathers was nowhere to be found. And then the other guy, the other tight end, was Jeff Swaim, who was actually doing pretty decent until he got injured. But things weren't really looking good at all with the Dallas Cowboys. So, 7-9 to me was actually kind of reaching at that time. And then the season starts, and 8 games later, we're 3-5. And right before that, we made that trade for Amari Cooper, which at that time I thought was a huge mistake, because the way our season was going, it was looking like that was going to be a top 10 pick, top 15 for sure. And it was looking like it was a horrible, horrible call on the front office on Jerry Jones's part. It was looking really bad. My very first instinct when Amari got traded over to the Cowboys was, yeah, he's an okay receiver, but who the hell is going to throw him the ball? Dak can't seem to throw the ball more than 5 yards down the field. Amari's supposed to be this burner who just takes he takes the ball to the house every single time, or at least from when I was watching him on the Raiders, Derek Carr was throwing long balls, you know, that then Amari would catch and then take it all the way to the house. And I just couldn't see that with Dak Prescott. So I hated that trade. I hated it. I absolutely hated it. And then immediately after I saw the news, I went on Reddit. And sure enough, everybody on the Dallas Cowboys subreddit was thinking the same way that I was thinking. There was a few that weren't. They were very optimistic and thought that it would improve Dak. And they were proved right. I was completely wrong. At least up until this point. Let's see what happens, because it's still not a finished story here. But we're 3-5 and we lose to the Titans in a game that we clearly should have won. I mean, it was bad. But then something happened, you know, and Dak and Amari seemed to click a little bit and things really got going. And then Dak was able to play kind of his style of football. I believe some of that had to do with Jason Garrett taking over a little bit of the play calling, or at least having more of a say, which you would think that being the head coach, it's a given every single time, right? But apparently he had to go in there, have a talking with Scott Linehan and kind of steer him in a different direction. And we saw that right away. I mean, it paid dividends right away. Dak started playing more his style of football, which is he's gonna make the play that needs to be made at the right time. And he is gonna go out there and he's gonna win you that game as long as the defense keeps it close. And that's another thing. The defense really turned it on later in the season, or at least towards when they started winning after the 3-5 game. They really turned it on and became a much better defense with Jalen and Leighton Vander Esch. So that obviously helped, because once that game is close, Dak Prescott is a really good closer. And the one game that really made my opinion about Dak change a little bit was the game against the Giants. Now, I know it was against the Giants, and the Giants were a horrible team this year. But I think the Giants were a much better team than people will give them credit for, at least better than their record showed. I mean, they even had a chance to get into the playoffs later on. They just kind of screwed it up, but they had a chance. So that tells you that they were kind of a decent team. And many people are going to point to the fact that, oh, well, the NFC East wasn't that great of a division. There was two teams from the NFC East that ended up in the playoffs. So don't give me that garbage. But that game against the Giants really showed me something about Dak. And I mean, that's just that he'll make the right play whenever he needs to be made, and he'll make the play to win you the game. He was the reason that the Cowboys won that game. And going back a little bit further, a little bit before the Giants game, the game against the Saints obviously really instilled a lot of confidence that I had with our defense. Our defense really turned it on against that game. They had a great game. They shut down completely the Saints. So, and that was something that nobody really expected. In fact, in our Pick'em League, I was the only one who picked the Cowboys to win. And because another partner of mine wasn't there to veto me, and so I was the only one making the picks that day. We were the only team in the whole entire league that picked the Cowboys to win. So I'm kind of proud about that, actually. So those two games really kind of made me have more confidence in the team as a whole. The Saints game made me have confidence in our defense. The Giants game made me have confidence in Dak Prescott. Because prior to the Giants game, I was thinking that the Cowboys, I knew, well, I had a feeling the Cowboys were going to play the Seahawks, and everything was pointing that in that direction, especially there towards the end. But once, and I thought that if the Cowboys played the Seahawks in the first round, I thought we were going to get eliminated. But that game against the Giants really turned my opinion, and I said if Dak has a game similar or can play at least similar to how he did against the Giants, then there's nothing the Seahawks can do that is going to make them win the game. Now, obviously, they helped us out a lot in that game when they went away from the pass for whatever reason. But we ended up winning that game, and it was really good to see that Dak got his first. Dak and Zeke both got their first playoff win. It was really good. And now that the season is kind of over, I'm really looking forward to see what Dak can do again. But hold on, I'm getting a little bit too ahead of myself. Let me go back and talk a little bit about the Colts game, because that Colts game, I knew that the Cowboys were going to lose. And it was one of those games where the Colts absolutely needed the win to keep their season alive. The Cowboys didn't. The Cowboys were on a roll, and they were kind of, let's say, feeling themselves a little bit, you know? They were getting a little cocky, a little bit confident, and those are all just, that's just the perfect recipe for a loss. Especially you're in Indianapolis, you're playing Andrew Luck, who's having one of the greatest comeback seasons, you know, in recent memory. And I mean, it just had all the necessary ingredients for the Cowboys to lose that game, so naturally I picked them to lose. I wasn't too surprised when they lost because I had picked them to lose. But and at the same time, I had picked the Colts to be in the Super Bowl, which that just didn't pan out. So, you know, we go to the playoffs. We lose against the Seahawks. And I'm feeling very, very confident about the game against the Rams. Again, I picked the Cowboys to win. Why? Because we had beaten earlier in the season a team in my opinion, was a lot stronger than the Rams and the Saints. But unfortunately, that game, for whatever reason, our defense just decided not to show up. CJ Anderson ran for over 100 yards. Todd Gurley ran for over 100 yards. Now, I would have been okay with Todd Gurley running for over 100 yards. But CJ Anderson? Are you kidding me? CJ Anderson looked like he ate 3 burgers right before he went into that game. Ridiculous. And it wasn't anything that CJ Anderson was doing. Those holes were ginormous. CJ Anderson isn't a shifty guy. He's going to make a cut and then he's going to run. So, I mean, they need to address that this offseason. I feel like we need a big body just in there just blocking, you know, or blocking the way, plugging up that hole. But that game ended up being a very disappointing loss because the defense didn't show up. I knew Dak was going to have his miscues. You know, he was going to throw behind players. He was going to throw high. He was going to play like Dak. And I knew that Scott Linehan was going to call plays that Scott Linehan calls because that's Scott Linehan. And Dak plays like Dak. But the defense, they didn't play like the Cowboys defense at all. I mean, Jalen and Van Der Esch, there were moments in the game where they weren't in the field together. I don't understand it. So we lost that game, and obviously I was incredibly disappointed. But overall, I gotta say they exceeded my expectations. So I was happy. Not exactly right after the game with the Rams that we had lost, but I was I'm very happy with the overall outcome about the season. Because they really did exceed my expectations of 7-9, which in the beginning of the season, like I said, was kind of a stretch, I was kind of reaching, really. So now my thoughts about this offseason is I'm very excited. I'm excited, I'm optimistic. I really hope that Kellen Moore can exceed fans' expectations, which honestly, it should not be that hard. If you're a Cowboys fan and you look around social media, you look around Reddit, anywhere, Cowboys fans are very disapproving of this, of Kellen Moore being the offensive coordinator, and I don't get it. I mean, it's to the point where they won't even give him any benefit of a doubt. They're just assuming that he's going to be another Scott Linehan because he was under his tutelage. Now, I get it. He's going to have some tendencies like Scott Linehan, but I don't think he's going to be another Scott Linehan. By all accounts, this guy's a genius, so let's give him a chance. You can't get mad at somebody for trying to give somebody a chance. How is he going to prove himself? Everybody's got to start somewhere, and if everybody thinks that this guy is a genius, just give him a chance. So I'm optimistic. I'm excited. I'm ready for the season to start. Other things that I'm optimistic about is we were able to keep Chris Richard, which at one point it was looking like he was gonna leave and be a head coach somewhere else. But I feel like the game against the Rams really made teams lose interest in Chris Richard because the defense played so poorly. And that kind of stuff happens in the NFL. You know, that shouldn't surprise anybody. But I'm happy that we were able to keep him because he's going to be an asset moving forward. Another thing to be excited about is Frederick is looking like he's going to return next year, like he's going to be healthy to play again. It's going to be the second year for our tight ends who really came on at the end of the season. Dalton Schultz was a really good blocker. Blake Jarwin was a really good big target downfield. And Leighton Vander Esch is just going to improve in his second year also. I mean, can you imagine Leighton Vander Esch improving in a second year? If you think about what he did this his rookie year, and then you think about what he can do on a second year, I mean, it's scary. And then you put him next to Jalen Vander Esch, who only keeps getting healthier and healthier. And the guy was supposed to be a top five pick coming out of the draft. I mean, that alone right there, if that doesn't get you excited for next season, then there's something wrong with you. Because those two guys are going to be something to behold next season. I'm telling you right now, they're going to be amazing. And then another thing to be excited is our front office just keeps making incredible, great decisions, especially in the draft. So it doesn't even matter that we don't have a first-round draft pick this year. Because the production that we're getting from our second-rounders, third-rounders, fourth-rounders, fifth-rounders, even sixth-rounders, I mean, take that in, you know? That's our sixth-rounders making an impact on the team, having playing time. That's just crazy. So I'm not worried at all that we don't have a first-round pick this year, because I know that whoever the front office takes, with Will McClay making those choices, or at least having somewhat of a say, being the unnamed general manager, really. I have total faith in what he can do and how he evaluates talent. So I'm not worried that we don't have a first pick. And then to top it all off is my renewed, or I shouldn't say renewed because I never had it, but my newfound confidence in Dak, that he can win games, close games, and now that he has a playoff win under his belt, and now with Kellen Moore, I can't wait to see what they do next year, man. I can't wait. And then, you know, he's obviously going to work with Kellen Moore and have input his ideas and say how he feels the most comfortable, in what place he feels the most comfortable. And I'm sure that if Kellen Moore is as smart as they say, he's going to take that into account, and he's going to make plays that make Dak a better quarterback. So I'm excited. I can't wait. And let's go, Cowboys Nation. We'll be talking AAF after this brief break. Okay, so now the NFL is over, right? So now you're thinking to yourself, man, my life sucks, because I was. And then I found out that there's something called the AAF. So in case you don't know, the AAF stands for Alliance of American Football. They're kind of marketing this as a developmental league for the NFL, sort of like the lower divisions for baseball, I guess, where guys are going to try and get better so that they can either make it back into the NFL or get a shot in the NFL at some point. Now, there's going to be 8 teams in this league. And the very first game is actually going to be tomorrow, or this Saturday. This league is going to be a 10-game regular season, with the championship game being on April 27th. Now, you'll be able to find most of these games on CBS and other networks. I don't have cable, so, I mean, who pays for cable nowadays, right? So I'm going to be watching most of these games on CBS. Now, the rules for the majority are very similar to the NFL, but there are some rules that are going to be completely different to what the NFL does now. For example, these are the rules that are going to be a little bit different towards the NFL, or different from the NFL. One of them is there's not going to be any kickoffs. All the teams are going to start on their own 25-yard line. That being said, there's also going to be no onside kicks. So if you want to get the ball back, let's say you're down, and you want to get the ball back, you're gonna get a chance, but that chance being on your own 28-yard line, you have to convert a 4th and 12. If you don't convert it, then the other team receives the ball wherever the ball was last. So if you gain 3 yards, they'll get the ball at your 31-yard line, for example. There will also be no extra points. All teams must go for the 2-point conversion. There will also be no blitzing. So they're trying to not get players hurt, because they're hoping that some of these players can make it into the NFL. So I guess that's one of the things that they're going to be stopping, is they're not going to be blitzing. Definitely no DBs blitzing. Nobody from the secondary can blitz. And if you have 5 players lined up on the line of scrimmage, only those 5 players can rush the quarterback. And another rule that I actually like is all of the replays will be handled upstairs. So the referee won't be going under the hood to review anything. Everything is going to be done upstairs, so it's really going to increase the speed of the game. The referee is only going to get communication from the earpiece from the people upstairs deciding what the play should be, which I think is going to make the game move a lot faster, which is what they're trying to do. The games are also going to be a little bit, they're going to be shorter, like about 30 to 45 minutes. At least that's what they're saying right now. So we'll see. This is going to be the inaugural season. So I, for one, am excited. I mean, I want to see what this league can offer. There's going to be guys in there like Trent Richardson and Christian Hackenberg. So, I mean, it's not going to be top-notch talent, but that should be obvious since it's a developmental league. So now let me tell you the teams that are on there. There's 8 teams, and they're going to be divided into 2 conferences, the Eastern Conference and the Western Conference. The Eastern Conference is going to be made up of the Atlanta Legends, the Birmingham Iron, the Memphis Express, the Orlando Apollos. And in the Western Conference, there's going to be the Salt Lake Stallions, the San Antonio Commanders, the San Diego Fleet, and the Arizona Hotshots. Now, that's one of the reasons that I'm excited. I live in Arizona, so I'm going to be able to root for a brand new team that is actually based in Arizona. So I'm pretty excited about that. They're actually favored to win the whole thing because apparently they have 2 really good quarterbacks. So I'm excited. I can't wait to see what this league can provide. At least some entertainment and at least something to talk about up until the draft, you know, because the league is going to be over on April 27th. So that's another thing. The playoffs, there's only going to be 4 teams that make it into the playoffs because obviously there's only 8. So half of the teams are going to make it into the playoffs. And it's going to be 2 teams from the Eastern Conference and 2 teams for the Western Conference. And whoever wins is going to move over to the championship game. So, I mean, I'm excited. I can't wait. I want to see what they can provide. And like I said, at least it'll be some football, right? Because everybody hates when football season is over. I know I do. And it's not because because I have less content for my podcast. Not at all. I love being entertained, and the podcast is a consequence of me loving the Cowboys, which I have for most of my life, really. So this league, hopefully it can provide some entertainment, at least until the draft happens, and then we'll see what happens after that. So if you're looking for some entertainment, some football, join me in watching the AIF. Start rooting. If you live in Arizona, definitely start rooting for the Arizona Hotshots. I know I will. If you live anywhere else, then root for the team that's either in your state, or if not, root for the Arizona Hotshots, because you should jump on the bandwagon before they win the championship. That way you can say you were there from the beginning. So that's going to be it for today, guys. I hope that you enjoyed this show. If you want to reach me, you can reach me at the Dallas. If you want to reach me, you can reach me at the Drive, CowboysAddict@gmail.com. Let me know your questions. Let me know your concerns. And don't forget to subscribe to the podcast and follow me on Twitter at Dallas_addict. That way you can get notifications for when a new episode shows up. All right. Have a good rest of the weekend.